Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Robert Lewandowski at his ruthless best and a Liverpool walk around to the quarterfinals. Welcome along to the Football Ramble. It's Wednesday the 9th of March. I'm Jules Breach.
I'm with you on the Roger.
I'm Pete, yes!
So that's what you were looking at.
That's what I was looking at. I was checking your laptop because I didn't have the running order up on my laptop, and I was trying to figure out whether I was second.
Second. This has been a great start. I was trying to figure out whether
I was second or third on the runner, and that distracted you so much that you forgot to say you're on Nim. And yeah, that is why you'll never play for Manchester United.
Is that a promise? Yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't know what you... I realised what you were doing as soon as you went, I'm Jules Breach, and I was like, what was he looking at? And I was just staring at my name after yours, and I was like, shit, yeah, that's me.
Sorry, guys. Sorry, yeah, everyone. Sorry, yeah.
Welcome along, Bethushan Ihantharaja. Welcome along, Pete Donaldson. You didn't get to say your full name.
I don't have such a lovely name as everyone else, though, to be honest, so...
Did you have a good International Women's Day?
Oh, I had a lovely International Women's Day, thank you. I was working most of the day, but it was good. The usual show I do at the Premier League on a Tuesday, we kind of revamped for International Women's Day, so we had lots of guests. It was very loose women, but it was good. It was really nice. We had all female reporters out and about, and we had a few female guests in the studio. Karen Carney joined us, so it was good. A good celebration of wonderful women in the industry.
Fantastic.
Great, yeah.
And it was apt as well, because the night before... So I didn't go into work hungover, can I just point out? I was very sensible at the SJA Awards on Monday night. There were a few brilliant women who won awards. So Laura Woods won Best Presenter of the Year, and she was up against pretty much an all-male category. So that was amazing to see. Vicky Sparks won Best Commentator of the Year, and she was up against all-male nominees in that category. Plus loads of other women won awards. So yeah, it was a good couple of days, I think, for girls in this industry.
I think listening to Laura Woods on that radio station in the morning, give her all
she
the bloody
was hanging.
Give her all, no, not the next day. I mean, just generally, give her all the bloody awards for crying out loud. The shit she has to put up with.
She was hanging the next day as well.
I decided not to do an Instagram post for International Women's Day.
Why is
because
that?
I thought basically it's just from my point of view, certainly on my Instagram feed, it looked like lads having a second crack at Mother's Day and or Valentine's Day. And I was like, I kind of get why this is, why, you know, posting something like that would be nice.
Yeah.
But I was like, I think the people I post that about will see right through it. So I just called
I just posted
mom.
A big picture of Margaret Thatcher. Women I'm inspired by, I said. I'm joking. What?
Oh, should we fagger out what happened at the football last night? Because BT celebrated International Women's Day yesterday by having two females in the studio at Anfield, which was a nice little touch. Rachel Brown-Finnis and Farrah Williams, who do work on BT's coverage fairly often, alongside Rio Ferdinand, who all sat there to watch Liverpool lose their first game in ages, their first defeat in 2022 against Inter Milan. Inter Milan won the game 1-0, but Liverpool still progressed to the next round because they'd taken a 2-0 lead into this one. Just goes to show how important an away win in the Champions League can be, even without the new away goals rule, which I know we all don't agree with. But it was a bit of an uncharacteristic Liverpool performance, would you say, Vish? They were not at their clinical best, which we're used to seeing.
Yeah, I wondered how much of it was related to the away goals, or the, you know, the lack of away goals. Because certainly, I feel like the tie would have been more interesting if it was in play. But I did get the impression, certainly more towards the end of the game, particularly when Inter Milan went down to 10 men, that Liverpool didn't really know whether to hold what they have or go for a third goal. And I really got the, you know, and certainly when you watch the start of that game, it felt like they assumed they were going to score. And then there was a sense of, shit, is it going to be one of those nights when Martinez scored? And then they just dominated them in a weird way. Like, I rewatched the highlights this morning and I thought, did I just kid myself into thinking there was some jeopardy there? Because it looked like they managed it. In real time, you felt like they managed it really well. And the highlights make it look a bit more dramatic.
Right, okay. I'm just sort of taking possibly the first leg into consideration as well, because I thought Liverpool were quite lucky to come away with what they came away with in the first leg. And the second one, yeah, I mean, to be fair, Liverpool had a lot of chances. They were like, I mean, even at the death where... who slid in at the end? It was
Vidal
wasn't
block.
It? Yeah. Like he properly like did try to do a no luck finish, didn't he? Because yeah. he actively looked away, and it was. And I think if Klopp's watching that, you're like, what the hell are you bloody doing? This is the Champions League.
He did try it.
I to be charitable.
Is that the 90th minute?
To be charitable, I think he could explain that he was looking at the attending defender. But in reality, no, he did a no-look shot and it was pathetic, in my opinion.
That boy's going to get in trouble crossing the road, isn't he?
Yeah.
You know what? I actually thought that the game and the reason for Liverpool not being able to maybe be what we're used to seeing of them of late when they've been in good form, it was very stop-start. But I think that was probably part of Inter Milan's game plan, was to sort of disrupt Liverpool's flow in the match, because it was very bitty and the referee stopped play quite a lot. It felt like Liverpool couldn't get into any kind of rhythm in the game, which was probably part of Inter Milan's plan. I thought they defended brilliantly. As you say, Vish, that Martinez goal, when that went in, you did feel like it was game on. And then that's really where the game turns, because he scores that absolute screamer, which was just magnificent.
Straight off his toe, just lifting it off Alisson. Fantastic.
Wasn't that a little bit Papi Cisse at Stamford Bridge?
What, kind of whipped in the air kind of thing? You think the but there was no wind on that day. How was there? There was no wind on that day. He just whipped it. He just managed to, he conjured that wind out of his soul.
I thought it was like the goal was like when you score in FIFA, though. It was like just perfect. But then moments later, Sanchez gets his second yellow of the game and gets sent off. And at that point, you're just like, oh yeah, Liverpool have gone through now.
It's like sneaking into a club and then not realising the bouncer has actually seen you. And you have that moment of like, God, brilliant. Yeah. And then just feel
happy. Yeah,
it's like you're talking from experience here.
Yeah.
Let's see your ID.
15-year-old me, very scared.
What did you think of the red card sending off situation, Pete?
I think he was possibly levelling it up after not sending him off the first time, personally.
From the challenge in the first half.
I think he should have gone then, personally.
But do you not think... I mean, I'm really surprised there's been any debate about it. Like, obviously, you know, we've just
started talking. Debate about this.
Yeah, like it was just two yellows, wasn't it?
I think the reason people are debating it is because it's that age old thing when it comes to these sort of second yellows, where you're like, well, what's Sanchez meant to do? He got the ball. Where's his foot meant to go? And maybe Fabinho kind of comes in late. And I mean, how are you meant to pull out of that?
Yeah,
I do get that, but at the same time, I do agree that you can't really argue that it's not a yellow, but it feels like a harsh one, maybe.
Yeah, because he gets the ball so cleanly, and Fabinho doesn't actually touch him when they have that, because they look obviously at full speed. You can understand why he might have been given a straight red, but obviously he's already on a yellow. Actually, I do wonder if he wasn't on a yellow, but if he would have been given a straight red. And then VAR would have looked at it and what the interpretation would have been from then. I probably think they probably actually wouldn't have overturned that because it's not clear and obvious error, because his studs do go into his Fabinho standing foot. But Yeah, it was a shame. Even the way, you know, you mentioned it before about the way that Inter were, you know, made the match quite bitty. I think because of that, Liverpool took a few more risks with their passes, such as Joel Matip when he plays that ball, which ends up in, you know, as the goal for Martinez. And, you know, there's a few moments like that where, even down to 10 men, there was a moment when Van Dijk, rather than like clear the ball or head it back to Alisson, decided to flick the ball over his head.
Yeah.
They were trying to do things as they normally do when maybe I thought they could have, I mean, you know, they got away with it in the end, but it felt like they were making trouble for themselves by trying to be too smart, even though it's a level of intelligence of play that they're used to, you know, pulling off really well.
When that red card incident was happening, Simone Inzaghi's face was a picture. It was brilliant, wasn't it?
he broke the fourth wall, didn't he? it was very, yeah. Yeah, it was very like Tim from The Office. A bit of Fleabag as well, yeah.
Jurgen Klopp's comments always entertain me. After the match, he said, Inter are a really good team. They're like Leeds with Bielsa, but with much more quality.
That's not a wrong thing to say.
That's not a wrong thing to say. I could see Inzaghi on a bucket. I saw, did you see him before Christmas stacking it down those stairs, on the icy stairs? I think it's quite hapless.
I didn't see that.
I could see him on a bucket. It was a lovely fall. I love a slippy fall. Oh, it was absolute textbook. It was.
And we know he's all right now, so we can laugh.
Yeah, exactly.
True. Yeah. Very true. He also, Klopp also called the performance slapstick, which I feel is the wrong use of the word, because slapstick.
You were a bit off on this. We're going through the running order before. What's your issue with slapstick?
I don't know. I just think it's a weird way to describe, because slapstick to me is like you're calling it funny, and there was nothing funny about it.
Jules, I'm sorry. Oh, football's serious.
Sometimes, Jules, when you got a camera pointed at you, you say funny things.
Welcome back. You'll never walk around. Has been ringing around Anfield.
He'll never hear that. It's a niche podcast. Don't worry about it. good old Jakey.
You'll never walk around. Do you? So
sometimes, as a broadcaster in a live situation, things come out wrong.
Oh yeah,
I do have to defend him a little bit there. Can you? It's funny, but
okay. Now it sounds like you're talking from experience here. What have you done?
Yeah, what have you done?
What have I done?
Yeah, what's been your big?
Oh mate,
what's been your anti-sporting bloomer?
I've done all sorts.
Anti-sporting bloomer.
Remember anti-sporting bloomers? Remember that back in the day?
No,
it was a team of bloopers.
Yeah, the old guy with glasses who always carried around a book. Is that the same bloke?
No, that's Dennis Norden. It'll be all right on the night.
That's it. Yeah, I'm thinking of a different one. But yeah,
classics.
It was just like stuff relating to sport that was like fucking up. And it wasn't, I think sometimes it was stuff on the field, but it was off in broadcasters a lot of the time as well.
I've probably said this before, but when I was on Absolute Radio, I was doing the rock and roll football show, but I was reading the football results off the BBC website. And I went, at Anfield, it's Liverpool 1, Everton 0, live on 5 Live, not on 5 Live. I just read it straight on the website.
I am on Score on Saturdays. I have to occasionally read out tweets that you know, viewers send in or things that people post on Twitter. And sometimes you can get caught out by
the names.
I went to read one, and as soon as I said the name, I laughed because I was like, I've been done there. It was Farter. And I went, this one's from Farter. I sort of tried to read it poshly so it didn't sound like Farter. This is a Farter.
The number of people who must be tweeting in with Hasbullah.
Yes. Yeah, oh, I love Hasbullah's little appearances here and there.
There's always cock ones as well, you know.
That's getting clipped.
Yeah, there's always cock ones as well. So where's the belt gone?
So I've just got loads of... I've been collecting new sound
so
effects.
That's a new one. So where's the belt gone?
Yeah.
£50,000 jackpot.
I've got loads now. I've got a little box of them. I'll bring them out when necessary.
Good. The I don't know why gone? You're laughing. You're going in there,
sunshine. Yeah, going in there, sunshine. Yeah.
Right, back to the game. It was a surprising defeat at Anfield, because they just don't lose at Anfield, do they, Liverpool? So I think, despite the fact that Inter are obviously a really strong team, they don't lose at Anfield. Well, they very rarely do. In fact, with Virgil van Dijk in the team, it was actually the first time since January 2018 that they have lost a home game with Big Verge in the defence. The only other time was that January 2018 game, Alan Pardew's West Brom.
Nice. Oh,
Pardew. They lost 3-2 in that match.
That's probably on Pardew's CV, isn't it?
Oh, he dances to that nightly, I think.
I mean, it was like, it's the most nothing loss, isn't it?
Yeah, well, is it the most nothing loss? Because I think this was sort of the post-match discussion yesterday was, you know, Mo Salah's interview. He sort of hinted at the fact that they maybe were a bit complacent coming into the game because they'd taken a 2-0 lead into it. And Rio Ferdinand was saying in the coverage, you know, like, sometimes a defeat like that can actually disrupt your momentum. But because they've got through, will it? Or is it nothing?
I think it's a decent scare for them. I think it sort of
could be a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. They still managed to get through, which is the most depressing thing about modern football, that Liverpool could just steamroll the team just by being quite poor at times. But I agree, they weren't nervy, but they were complacent. They just didn't look that arsed.
Yeah.
It's a bit like when you think you've been flashed on the motorway.
Mm.
And you're
yes.
And it's like, oh God, is that me? Mm. But then you drive sensibly for the rest, and then like 2 weeks' time, nothing comes
to the
post.
You know what I had to do last week?
What?
Speed awareness. Yes!
Course. I did that
my
last
first,
year, yeah.
My first one ever.
What was it like? Does it take a long time? I'm expecting one.
What, from your moped?
Yeah, from your moped, yeah.
You know what? I must be the biggest loser ever. I didn't mind it.
Right.
It wasn't that bad, was it?
It was
like being at school or something.
Well, it was on Zoom because of COVID.
Oh, that's even easier to do it in your gym jams.
No. Well, they make you keep your camera on, and if you turn your camera off at any time, you get basically removed.
Yeah.
So I was like,
what if your internet goes down? That's not fair.
You get removed. You have to do it again. Yes.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So, and they also say remove all distractions from the room. And I had my dog on my lap, and I was thinking, Pablo, fucking behave yourself. Might get removed from this if he pipes up and they see him.
It'd be hilarious if everyone had like a dancing clown behind the laptop.
FYI,
all distractions.
I was going 23 in a 20 zone. I am not a terrible human being.
So that is over the limit, though, isn't
that
it?
That is over the limit.
Are you driving backwards?
I didn't know it was 20. I thought it was 30. Anyways.
Did you get recognised?
No. Also, you can change your name. Because they say, because your name is like on the thing.
Fart. So my name is Fat.
Farter.
So you're admitting that you did an official government,
under a nom de plume, like Charles and Zogbia.
So technically, Jules Breach hasn't.
Shut up. Just for the Zoom call.
HMRC are listening as well. let's just check her out.
Let's talk about the other Champions League match last night, because there was absolutely no doubting Bayern Munich's performance against Salzburg. 7-1 victory, 8-2 on aggregate. Robert Lewandowski, absolutely ruthless, because they had a bit of a scare in the first leg. Salzburg were 1-0 up until stoppage time in that game, and Bayern Munich actually managed to rescue an equaliser. But their hopes of causing an upset were basically out of the window after 12 minutes. Lewandowski with a penalty and then a hat-trick in the space of 10 minutes. It's the quickest or earliest hat-trick in the Champions League ever. 23 minutes it took him to get a hat-trick. I mean, that's quite impressive, isn't it?
I mean, they just bullied them. Yeah. I felt so bad for them, because it was like, oh, you know, people getting, you know, Redwood Salzburg are a team that have a lot of exciting players, and obviously, you know, they've already, you know, players in the past have come through them. You think of like Sadio Mane, you think of Haaland as well, and there are a few players there who everyone is pipped as like the brightest and best in Europe. It's only, you know, at that value in that age. And Bayern Munich just thought, you know what? Sit the fuck down. Don't you dare do that again. It was like almost it. Like they were you embarrassed us on TV and we're going to do the same to you.
Yeah.
Just like an 18-year-old scoring his goal after they've put 5 past you. It's just kind of like, well, look, you're going to learn from that, I suppose, aren't you?
Yeah, that was quite a good goal as well.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Neuer was like, what?
What? Are you allowed to do that? Did you see what we did? Do you want us to do it again?
Well, let's take a break now. When we come back, we'll move from talking about the Champions League to the Championship and its Pep Talks.
one 800 flowers.com is more than your birthday, anniversary, or just because gift-giving destination. We put our hearts into everything we do to help you celebrate all life's special occasions with friends and family. From our farmers and bakers, florists and makers, everything from 1-800-Flowers is made with love every step of the way, because we know that nothing is more important than delivering a smile. To learn more, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
There's more to Irish history than St. Patrick. And Shane Todd and Hazel Hayes are here to tell you all about it on We're Not Fucking Historians, the Irish history podcast with a few facts and plenty of crack, like the legendary Irish warrior, Cú Chulainn.
Some sources say he killed a dog by driving a hurling stone down its throat. Now he's six. Hazel, did someone say the naughty step?
Jesus, someone went to bed without supper, didn't they?
Someone called Super Nanny because he's at it again.
Or Ned Kelly, Australia's infamous Irish-born bushranger.
Punishment was imprisonment with or without hard labour.
I'd prefer without.
If possible. Like, if it's going. Do you have any without hard labour?
Yeah, can I have the without labour substitute, please?
Can I get the hard labour on the side?
Can I get almond instead of hard labour, please?
Search We're Not Historians. That's We're Not Historians in your favourite podcast app for weekly episodes every Tuesday.
Let's see what these people have said about it. Amazing. The Times. Whoa. New York Times. A lot of times. Great. Hazel herself.
We're Not Fucking Historians is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Now, a well-placed source has told me that you celebrated the win over Borussia Dortmund in the dressing room by doing an impression of Chris Kamara. Is that right?
Lambaleba Jeff.
Lambaleba
Jeff.
That's how you celebrate.
He's so good.
That is,
he's got such a sweet little
brilliant voice. Oh, welcome back to the Football Ramble, guys. It is Jules, Vish and Pete here with you. And it is a Wednesday, so it's time for Pep Talks.
We are so, so happy. We're so happy.
We are so happy. Yeah, I'm happy for that.
We are so happy. I'm so happy, believe me.
We're so happy.
Sit down! Nobody talk! Sit down! Drink water and relax!
Pep talk from Justin. I wondered if you had any advice for someone who's just bought an unnamed football club in the Northeast to help with friends and influence people, but now just found out that I could in fact have bought a ready-made top-level club in West London instead.
Nah.
So I just waited a few months. What is an anonymous oil royal to think about that? Any words of solace? Well, this will be harder to, you know, this unnamed West London club will be harder to buy because there's a few hoops to jump through. I don't know. Yeah, I mean,
and you slid in before that, you would imagine more stringent fit and proper person tests will be coming in, and the PR's against you, whatever you do now. So yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, they're
looking very much Indiana Jones grabbing the hat before the wall comes down, buying the Northeast club.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, no one's going to dig up your garden. Just leave it there. That's fine. The one thing I would say is West London has better pizza places.
Yeah.
That is an issue.
Yeah.
Probably rather live in London.
weren't you?
Oh, look at that.
Oh, hello.
Oh, elitist.
You don't, you don't even live in London.
I don't, do I?
That's a good point, yeah. Yeah. Just because all your Instagram tags are in London doesn't mean you live in London.
My dad's side of the family are from the northeast. I'm allowed to say I'd rather not live there.
Right, from Christian. I frequent a small Korean lunch counter in a mall next door to my work.
Nice.
What a strange sentence. I just constantly go there. The people who seem to operate it are two older Korean grandmothers who are incredibly kind and always greet me with smiles and hellos while slipping in extra treats like a free drink or a Korean candy. Ooh. Every now and then. Across the way, within eyeshot, a new Thai lunch counter has opened up and looks rather good. I enjoy Thai food a great deal and would love to give them a try. However, I'll be feeling intense guilt that I'll be letting the Korean place down by going to the Thai place. Plus, they would see my betrayal in full view due to the fact it's right across the food court. Ramble Brain Trust, how do I successfully sneak in a visit to this new Thai place and manage my feelings of guilt while enjoying some pad Thai?
Ooh, that is awkward, isn't it?
That is awkward.
This is an awkward one.
There was a bubble tea shop around the corner from my house. And it kind of put me off going in because at one point one of the staff said, it's fine, I know his order, he's a regular. And that upset me as a 37-year-old man. And so I started going to the one over the road, and occasionally the woman would eyeball me going to the one over the other road. But there's just so many choices of the bubble tea shop.
Do you know what? I have bubble tea. It's life. Don't be ashamed.
Don't be ashamed.
Don't be ashamed.
Of ruining a bubble tea
proprietor. I love bubble tea. So much so that, because I can't get it where I live.
Right.
Whenever I'm at work, I'm like, I need to get a bubble tea today. While I'm in London, I need a bubble tea. Like, I think I'm addicted.
Popping pearls or tapioca pearls? Do you even bother with the pearls?
Tapioca and jelly.
Okay. Ooh, yeah. Okay. So tapioca, aloe vera pearls, jelly stuff.
Yes, but right. I go coconut or lychee, depending what they have on offer for that day.
Like a lychee jelly.
But you know what I did the other day? So I was at the Premier League.
Threw on Chris Sutton. And said, no, this is what you deserve, Chris.
You know
Chris.
What I did? I ordered one.
Eat the boba,
Chris.
For
some reason, it like took ages. You know, sometimes Deliveroo takes forever. Which, by the way, yes, I did Deliveroo one single bubble
one
tea.
One single bubble tea.
It cost
you better have tipped at least a 20.
It cost £4.79 for the drink.
At least you're not ungrateful bitching about it on a podcast.
I spent £10.50. They charged me like an extra delivery charge because it's so small.
Yeah.
Anyway, it took so long to arrive that I was already on air by the time it arrived. It was meant to arrive in my break. I have a 2-hour break and it just took so long that by the time it arrived, one of the team behind the camera had to go and collect it for me. I was like, my bubble tea's arrived at the front door. They went and collected
it. What a weird intro for the telly.
He brought the cup in and it had a slit in the side of the cup, so it was pissing out from the side.
Wow.
So this £10 bubble tea ended up being only half a bubble
tea. That is a disaster, James. Absolute disaster.
You can imagine how livid I was, because they are the best thing ever, aren't they?
I hope you clicked order help, complain.
I actually didn't. I was busy concentrating on my show. Anyway, how do we get onto this? How are you going to help...
The London elite.
How are you going to help Christian get into this Thai place for lunch?
So my default would be to Uber Eats.
Ah, yeah. Good shout.
Oh, get it in. Yeah, okay.
But if it is around the corner, you know, you might feel a bit guilty.
Yeah,
but,
and then you're spending like £5 on delivery, which is unnecessary.
But then I think that's the only way around it.
I would buy an oversized Arsene Wenger type coat. I would put the hood up. I'd sneak in. They'll never know.
I'd just crawl along the floor out of eye shot like a little worm.
Chuck it down, yeah.
Oh, dearie me. Right, that is Pep Talks for today. If you have any other dilemmas and you need some help, as you can tell, we're really helpful. So please send them in.
This is the quintessential Wednesday show, I have to say.
Show at footballramble.com or tweet us at footballramble. So as promised, let's talk a bit about last night's championship action. Marcus's Fulham extended their lead at the top to 14 points. They are cruising now for automatic promotion to the Premier League. They beat Swansea 5-1. I mean, the amount of goals they're scoring at the moment is an absolute joke.
But Swansea like kept them out until a red card, and then it instantly went to shit for them, which is funny.
It's absolute madness.
And the Swans keeper was just like, you know what? Let's just play out from the back. I'm just going to do 3-yard passes, just like weird looping whacks out of just in front of the D. And it's like, what are you doing, mate? You're just putting yourself, inviting more pressure on yourself.
And even like the start of the second half, I was like, what should we do? Let's just, right, so we're a man down, let's just get the ball as close to our goal straight away.
That's where we do our best work.
What could possibly go wrong?
We're swans, we'll break your neck.
Yeah, mummy.
We'll tell the Queen if you beat us. I was a bit confused, but you know exactly what Pete's outlined there, because it did seem like, you know, things were relatively level, and then Manning gets sent off for what looked a pretty atrocious tackle. I thought it was very similar to the Sanchez one in terms of like the impact, but yeah, it was so odd, because I mean, maybe someone with a bigger tactical brain can tell me why you would resort to that kind of stuff, especially against a team like Fulham, but then to like concede straight away and still keep doing it,
yeah,
it's just mad. But
hell of a goal from Cat Williams, Neco Williams, they're like just that proper like those kind of volleys. You know, in his soul, he's just gone, get the fuck. As he just it's a stroke and a smash and a loop and
Is a volley your favourite type of goal? I think it is for me.
Yeah,
I think so.
I love a good volley.
Like golfers and cricketers talk about the moment right after you've hit a ball where only you know how well you've hit it.
Yes,
and volleys are probably the only thing that has that where you're like this is going in.
Yeah,
because like we've all had that moment in like whatever sport we've played. Like, yeah. I can remember the very, very few balls I've hit like that. I was like, this is good.
This is very
good. I've done good here. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, I was going to say something then, but I won't.
No, say it.
I was going to say
it.
Fulham's goal difference.
No, you weren't. What were you actually going to say?
Nothing.
No, what were you actually going to say?
No, stop it. I'm going to get in trouble. Right. Fulham's goal difference is now equal with the goal difference of the teams in second to fifth place combined. That's how many goals they're scoring. That's because of the goals they're scoring. They also don't concede many, but it's mainly down to the goals that they're scoring. 89 in 35 matches is ridiculous. Their goal difference is plus 59.
Yeah, I imagine the rest of the championship clubs are a bit just pissed off. Just get them out.
It's just crazy.
Get
so absolutely flying. Chris Wilder, though, didn't have a very happy return to Sheffield United with Middlesbrough. Despite going well in the FA Cup, they lost 4-1 in this match. It's always a little bit like this, I think, at this stage of the season, where it's starting to get a little bit tight between the teams that are going for the playoff places.
Very congested at Bears,
yeah, they're all sort of like winning here, drawing there, because Blackburn were held by Millwall 0-0 as well.
I do think Borough got a chance. Because they just score. I can't remember the last time they struck out on a match. They always score goals in matches, and that's why I fancy them against Chelsea at the Cellnet. Oh, that's going to be a good night. That's going to be a good night.
But it's funny you say that it gets a bit congested this time, because I picked Middlesbrough as my like the team that's going to ride in late.
Oh, right.
And it's kind of been Sheffield United actually.
Yeah.
Because even, you know, Luton as well have been there or thereabouts, because it felt like Blackburn and QPR couldn't keep up their kind of early season form. And that's sort of playing out at the moment. But yeah, they've Middlesbrough have struggled a bit recently. Like, you know, a couple of losses in the last month as well. And
the FA Cup's derailed them.
Yeah.
Takes out, yeah.
I still fancy Luton as well with a chance to get into the playoff places. It's just hard to call, isn't it? But there are bigger concerns for Chris Wilder, guys. Because do you remember Josh Coburn, who scored that goal in the FA Cup? He revealed last week that his parents have got a butcher shop in Richmond. And Chris Wilder keeps saying to him, Josh, where's my sausages? And he keeps saying that he's forgotten to bring them in. He said, fantastic. I keep reminding him and he keeps forgetting to bring in my sausages. Where's my sausages?
Butcher sausages are incredible, aren't they?
Yeah.
They are the best.
Have you got a few butchers around your way?
There's a good...
Outside of London.
There's a really good farm shop near me, because remember, I'm like sort of countryside, aren't I?
Right,
Don't actually have a butcher's. I'll go to the farm shop.
They would have them in the farm.
Same thing. That's the same thing. Yeah. But yeah, oh my God, the meat. Oh, the meat. I had a barbecue in the summer. I had like three friends around, so there was four of us in total. And I went down to the farm shop. And I'm not joking. I spent so much money, because you get carried away, because you're like, oh, I'll have a bit of that. I'll have five of them, six of those. Before you know it,
your fridge is full of tomahawks.
You spent 100 quid on meat for four people. It's absolutely mental. But it's good. Love a good butcher's sausage, Pete.
I certainly agree.
Yeah.
These days, though, I've got a lot of veggie sausages in my house. Not as good, but you know.
Have you turned veggie now?
No. Just it's politically expedient if I eat veggie sausages, isn't it?
Yeah.
Actually, you know, this show has been a cacophony of nonsense, but I'll bring in some more. The person who I spend my life with, my life partner, made a comment a couple of weeks ago that I've not been on a show with you two guys together.
Way to call your girlfriend. Where life partner.
Where she ranked in attractiveness the host of the Football Ramble. And Vish, you are the most handsome. Jules, you are the second most handsome. Marcus Speller sits in third, fuming. I didn't even make top 10. There's only 8 of us. Fuming.
I was about to give you a high five there because I thought Pete was going to say, you got most handsome and I got most pretty. But actually, I got second. I'm second place to Vish.
Yeah.
Sarah's meant to be my mate.
I know. Only have people on my level or higher, not anyone below. So.
Have you been giving Sarah some of your sausages?
Clip. Put there that is in the no Twitter
right,
picture.
There is no right way to answer that question.
And she knows that.
Yeah.
And she knows that.
You know what you've done there.
So there we go. So I know where I am in the pecking order.
You know what?
I might be the sexiest, but I'm also a gentleman. So.
You know what will happen, Pete? You'll get into the top 8 after this little holiday going on, because you know why? Everyone's better with a tan.
It's true, yeah.
Everyone's better with a tan. I'm probably won't be envisioned.
I'm the Middlesbrough.
<Top two. laughs> With the brownest. Oh, dear. Right, let's talk about tonight's Champions League.
Does the ranking go in like a hue? Is it like Dulux?
I'm definitely bringing down that mean average. Come on.
By the way, I like your T-shirt today. Pork and beans, it says.
Pork and beans! For the excellent podcast, Wrestle Me.
Lovely. Tonight's Champions League matches, lots to look forward to. Let's start with Man City against Sporting. I mean, there's absolutely no chance that Sporting are getting through this one. Man City have a 5-0 lead. But the more important thing to talk about with this game is Pep Guardiola is still absolutely fucking raging with Kyle Walker. That's the only way to put it. Remember, he got that red card and a 3-match ban against Leipzig in December. And Pep Guardiola's been talking about it again recently, and he basically still not over it, even though it was 3 months ago now. He said he deserves it. Kyle Walker deserves the 3-match ban. He did a stupid thing. And yes, I am still angry with him. So angry.
So angry. I mean, it was fucking stupid.
And like, not that stupid, was it?
I mean, 3 months. Get over it.
But he sort of takes everything.
Do you know what I mean, though?
But he sort of takes everything so personally. He's so kind of like, he's a professional. He shouldn't be doing it. Like, he just obviously thinks at any point Kyle Walker could do that again. And that's his fear, isn't it? He kind of misjudged. He sort of thinking, I thought I had a particular footballer with a particular temperament and a particular set of skills, and he let him down. And I agree with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I suppose that's fair enough. I mean, they're getting away with it. Like, what, do Sporting need to turn up today? I feel really bad. Like, just go and see the city or something. Go to I don't know, what is it? Go to Mackie Mayer. Go get some.
What's the shopping place in Manchester? It's really good, that one.
The Arndale
Centre.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Decent, that.
Yeah, just go around.
Shopping for the day.
Lovely. Go to Stockport. Visit the Hat Museum.
Go down the road to Old Trafford and pick at the stadium.
Good night out, Manchester, though.
Yeah, it's really good, actually, yeah.
Go out after the game, even if they've lost.
Ooh, night and day.
Cafe in the Northern Quarter.
Night and day. Really good bar. Does live music as well. Very good. Actually, yeah, man, we should go up Manchester, have a piss up.
We haven't had a ramble Sporting. Drink for a while.
Sporting.
Don't play the game, just enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
Go and enjoy yourself, guys. I wonder if Micah Richards is going to be enjoying himself in the CBS Champions League studio tonight, because after the weekend, he actually said he's going to go on a laughing strike after being accused of being disrespectful to Roy Keane for cracking up while he was ranting at the weekend derby.
Was he actually accused of being disrespectful?
I don't know. It's been written. Apparently, some people think it was disrespectful.
I mean, the timing was perfect.
It was hilarious.
And Roy Keane is a cartoon, so it's just two cartoons laughing at each other. And you know,
I think Micah was doing what most people at home were doing, which is sat there going, "This is hilarious."
Yeah,
like, because Micah is just super normal and down to earth and just like a football fan, so he would be sitting there thinking, "This is funny."
Is that when you're in class and you shouldn't laugh because the teacher's going to get angry?
Exactly,
so it's funnier.
Him and Jamie Redknapp were looking at each other like, we shouldn't be laughing right now, but we really want to laugh. And then the minute you see your mate laughing, you're like, right, let's just laugh. Yeah. It's time to laugh.
I hope he doesn't. Like, the whole point is that he's just like quite visceral, isn't he?
Yeah.
So, I mean, he won't be able to keep this up. So.
Right, on the other match tonight, it's Real Madrid against PSG. You remember the first leg, Mbappe scored that brilliant goal in stoppage time to take a 1-0 lead into this match. This time they're in Madrid for the game. The biggest news with this, though, is that Neymar could actually play in this game. And the reason why that's huge news is he could be breaking a massive tradition, a very serious one that he holds very close to his heart. He could play during his sister's birthday, guys. First time in 7 years.
It's weird that that stat exists, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, good point, yeah. Mm. There's a body of evidence there to suggest that he does do this, because he does, and now he's not doing it, and now it's a thing we're talking about.
Family's important.
Family is very important, yeah. Mm. And, yeah, he's playing football to do his doing his job.
Doing his job, good on him.
I was a little bit wary of this, not this story, this game in particular, because there was that little hint that Mbappe might be out injured.
Yeah, he got injured in training.
But I think he's all right now.
Ah, okay.
It was quite an innocuous little kick. Well, it was a perfect tackle for me. I don't know why I got injured.
Well, so Mbappe came out and supported. It was just a gay, wasn't
it? Yeah. Yeah.
And it was like, it felt like the formation of a typical PSG, like, they're about to do something good, now they're going to fuck it up by fighting amongst themselves. Mm. But no, I'm quite excited by this. I think PSG should take it quite comfortably.
I'm surprised that those injuries in training don't happen more often.
Yeah.
I think they do, but I think they're managed differently at different clubs.
Mm.
That makes sense. Remember like Man City back in the day used to have like loads of bus stops because people would see them because there was that path running through their training ground basically. Yes.
Right.
And now it's like, oh no, everything's fine. We don't do that anymore. So you probably do, just no one sees it.
Yeah, that's true.
It's Beelzebub in the bushes.
it is a fascinating fixture, this one. Because, yeah. I mean, I feel like Real Madrid, I mean, there was a lot of talk in the first leg about their approach to the match because of this abolishment of the away goal rule, that they kind of were extremely defensive in that match and hoped they could kind of come away with a 0-0 or even maybe a 1-0, because that's still an okay scoreline to defend at home. Do you think we'll see a different Real Madrid this time round, Vish?
Yeah, you'd hope so.
Yeah,
because
they have to.
Yeah, like as you said, like they sat back and it was, you know, they were basically asked to be beaten. And it felt like they were the first canary down the mine of this new world of like not having away goals. But I thought they played it appallingly.
Mm.
Because there's no reason. If there's no away goals, then that doesn't change the fact that you don't need to attack when you're away from home. If anything, you kind of, you know, it evens it out in a way that like you both get the same crack at each other. It's not like you're trying to sit back on an advantage or whatever, and you're not going to be able to make it up in the second leg. So it's a funny one.
Especially how comfortable they are in the league at the moment. You know, they're the streets ahead of everyone else, and they're putting teams to the sword there, but they just didn't look at the risk at all, I didn't think.
The fact that PSG are just going to approach this the same way. PSG aren't a defensive team, so you're going to have to work it out one way or another.
A couple of random Manchester United connections to this as well, Vish. Interesting to get your thoughts. Ancelotti's been linked with the United job after the summer. And also Marcus Rashford has been linked with PSG if Mbappe doesn't stay.
Yeah. The Ancelotti one is...
Either of them got legs?
I think they both do to a point.
Well, they've got two legs each.
Will they ever walk around?
Yeah, they'll never walk around Old Trafford. I think the Ancelotti one is interesting because it goes against exactly what United need, and therefore it does make a bit of sense that, you know, a club which has had such cluttered thinking over the last couple of years would throw him in with Ten Hag and Pochettino. Is like, yeah, why not? Big name, you know. Mm. The Rashford thing is sad. They talked about it on the show yesterday and they talked about it very well, but it is, I mentioned this on Twitter to David Cartledge actually in like January, but it felt like, it certainly has felt like over the last few seasons, even beyond the injuries, that Rashford has stagnated a bit as a footballer. Bear in mind that when he first, you know, came onto the scene in those first couple of seasons, by now you'd think he would have been, you know, the United team would have been built around him. Now he doesn't start because Anthony Langer is ahead of him on merit, really, in terms of like recent performances. I actually think for his benefit, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. Maybe not necessarily going to PSG, but certainly leaving Old Trafford. Mm. And that pains me to say it because he represents so much of what United fans have held on to in terms of this sense of identity, which has been counterproductive in other areas, but certainly for him and also just him as a man as well, to lose him as... There's always a sense of pride that Marcus Rashford plays for my football team.
Yeah.
And so even beyond the football staff, I was a bit... That would hurt a little bit, but I just want what's right for him, and it might be that moving is right for him.
That's so nice.
Aww.
Bless him. Sweet, wasn't it?
Farewell. Farewell, Rashi.
Right, that's all from us today. Enjoy the football tonight, guys. Lots to look forward to there. And if you enjoyed the show, please leave us a 5-star review. It helps new listeners find it and we'll love you for that. So thanks for listening to the Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network. Tomorrow, Marcus is going to be here. He's going to be alongside Jim and Andy. Me and Vish will probably just be chilling. And Pete's going to be on a plane off on holidays.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, see you later.
You can enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
So where's the belt gone?
That's what I'll say to the person on the plane.
Where's my belt gone? Pete, enjoy yourself.
Thanks.
Make sure you relax. Have some time off. You deserve it. And
try and rebuild our broken relationship. Thanks to you two absolute nightmare people.
Come back with a tan. Sarah might fancy you a bit all more. Right. And see you guys soon. Bye.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces 3 thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with something, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.